Well, many of you know that we bought another house, and we are busy renovating the house. We have not fully moved into it yet, but we're working hard, and we're finding out that renovating the house is pretty hard work.
Yes.
But we bought because we saw the potential, and as we're working hard, and you get all these little surprises as you go through things, and bring it up to what we want to make of it. I couldn't help but thinking about how the Lord's job to renovate us is also a big job.
Yes.
And it's ongoing, and sometimes He has a setback. And He discovers some things that in us that should have been dealt with, but now they're still there. But He doesn't give up on us. Thank God for that. And He saw the potential. We bought that house because we saw the potential. And I believe that God saw the potential in every one of us. And He says, I'm not going to look at the mess, and I'm not going to look at what's wrong. I'm looking at the potential, and I'm going to realize all of it. And coming to church has a lot to do with that renovation process, that God is cleaning us up, is shaping us and forming us and bringing us to that place where He wants us to be, where our full potential that's hidden inside of us can be realized to His glory. Now, you know that the church has always been kind of against the grain. When the world goes this way, the church goes that way. And we see in the world a trend to go more secular and more secular and more secular almost by the day. And the call that comes through the church, not only this one, but everywhere, I believe, is to go more holy, closer to God, less attached to the world. Because the Bible says if we love the world and the things of the world, then the love of God is not in us. That's a tough choice that we need to make sometimes. That we need to make sure that our love is pointed in the right direction so that we can move along to where God wants us to be. And of course, we all understand that life on earth and life in the flesh is not all there is. There's a lot more. Eternity is a lot longer than life in the flesh. And we need to make some wise choices and wise decisions so that we can end up in a good place. Amen.
Amen.
And this is where we make our choices, is right here. Now, this morning, I just want to touch on a verse here in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And reading from verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Peter is right at the back of the Bible almost. Chapter 2 and verse 1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So, I understand, and also from other places in the Bible, that growing comes from the Word of God. If we want to grow spiritually, the Word of God's the place to go to. Now, there's a whole lot of things that happen in our Christian life and in the church world, and there's a lot of wonderful experiences that we can have. And it's good sometimes, but growing comes from the Word. Growing doesn't come from all these things that happen and things that people see and people do and people experience. Growing comes from the Word of God. That's where spiritual growth comes from. Is feeding on the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Word of God. You know, sometimes we struggle with our spiritual growth and our faith because we don't feed our spirit man with the Word enough. The more we stay away from the Word, the more hardened our hearts become. And the more secular our thoughts become. And until we get to a place where we have the same color as the world. But we just slap church attendance onto that. But that's not where God wants us to go. He wants us to grow in Him. You know, I'm thinking of what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he says, "My little children, for whom I labor again, until Christ is formed in you." Do you know that that prayer is still valid today? That yearning in God's heart is still there, that Christ be formed in us. Amen. Yes. That is what it's all about. That is what it's all about. It's not about being cool. It's not about having all, you know, the latest stuff and doing the, you know, all the modern things. It's got nothing to do with that. The yearning in the heart of God is for us to become like Him. And that's what the Bible says. And so there's a lot of work to be done in us. You know, when we were bought by the blood of Jesus, I tell you what, thank God he bought us in the condition that we were in. And we will see just a little later that He loved us when we were sinners. God loves the sinner. He didn't love us because we were so good and, you know, we were such wonderful people. Oh, no. He loved us while we were ugly old sinners. And then He bought us for Himself through the blood of Christ. And now then He started that cleaning up process and that shaping and the forming and remodeling. And that work is going on in us all the time. And we must allow Him to do that work in us. You have to work with me this morning. You know, I don't believe in quiet churches. That is very awkward when a church is quiet. That is very, very awkward, you know. Let's stay with it this morning. Amen. Now let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And it says there, in my Bible, there's a heading that says, "Faith triumphs in trouble." Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes. Amen. Because without trouble, we won't know if we have faith. So if you have troubles, you'll know you have faith. There's something working inside of you. If you don't have troubles, you're probably heading the wrong direction. Because the devil leaves you alone. He's happy with you. He'll spend his time on the ones that go in the right direction. So if you don't have a lot of trouble, then maybe you should take a good look at your life. Verse 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you know that peace with God is the best thing that you can ever accomplish in your life? Is to have peace with God. Nothing else gets close to that. That you can have peace with God. There's no tension between God and you. There's nothing in between. There are no outstanding issues to be dealt with. You have peace with God. That's the best thing you can ever have. And now it says, we have it through faith in Him. We didn't buy it. We just put our trust in Him. That's how easy it is. We have faith in Him. And through that, we've been justified. And now we have peace with Him. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. That's a wonderful thing. The grace in which we stand, and we do it by faith. You know, we go through a lot of challenges, I'll call it, this as a church body. You know, we have this huge building that we bought, And there's a lot of issues there and things that we need to deal with. In our personal lives, I believe we have things to deal with and so on. But it says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And that's a wonderful thing, because that is where that peace means a lot to us. That we can go through all of this without stress and without tension and without sleepless nights, because there's a grace in which we stand. There is that part that we cannot do that God does for us, in which we stand by faith. Thank God we don't have to do it all. God's going to help us. His grace is sufficient for us. His grace is going to fill up the shortcomings that we have and what we cannot do. And we begin to see that as we have peace and rest about the whole thing, we see step by step God moving along. Just quietly moving along. And well, I tell you, you know, one of the wonderful things that I've discovered in my life is that the challenges that I face, I don't have to worry about them too much. I just say, my Father knows about this. My Father knows about this. There was a time when I worried about every little thing. I tell you, man, I was a professional worrier. Worried about every little thing. And found out most of what I worry about doesn't even happen. And it's the grace of God that takes care of things that we cannot take care of. So that we can have that peace that that we have received through our relationship with Him. There will always be challenges. In your personal life, in your career life, there will always be challenges. But that is one of the reasons why we serve Him. Is so that in those challenges, we can have peace with God. And this is where our faith in Him becomes practical. It's not just a theory that we talk about. It's a practical thing. I remember how my wife and I discussed our problems years ago, and we got all stressed out and didn't know what to do and how we'll get out of them and so on. Nowadays, we pay no attention to that. We pay no attention to that. We just leave it, because we say, when we get there, it'll be dealt with. Praise God for that. Amen. How easy life has become just because of that little thing that we put our trust in Him. Verse 2 again, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Now here things change. We glory in tribulations. Now some people, it kind of died off nowadays, but there was a time in the church where people said you have to glory for tribulation. You thank God for every problem you get because God is bringing it to you and He wants to teach you something. But we found out that that was not quite the case, because the Bible doesn't say that. But it says we rejoice in our problems, not for the problems. We are grateful in every situation, not for every situation. Because if they will bring some stuff to us, we're not going to thank Him for that or thank God for that. We just say, God will deal with that. And I rejoice in Him. I rejoice in the one in whom I have hope. Even in my tribulations, I can do that. Because I don't rejoice because I have wonderful circumstances, but I rejoice in my hope in Him. He has become everything to me. But we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Okay. Tribulation produces perseverance. You know, I thought quite a bit on this one. And that little word perseverance is a wonderful character trait to have. You know, I've been involved in church life almost all my life. And I've been in ministry quite a long time. And I have seen so many people come along, love the wonderful news of the gospel and the good things of God, But when the first tribulation shows up, they're gone. They're gone. They're out of it. Because there's no perseverance. But the tribulation brings the perseverance. You know, I know some of you have been through some tough things. Some of you are going through some tough things now that you wish were not there. There are tribulations. Some people among us have tribulations that they're enduring. And I always stand back and look at that and I say, God, thank you for people who are willing to persevere when things go tough. Boy, I tell you, what an encouragement that is, because it tells you it's not all about having a good time. It's not all about today. But there's something more to life than just having a good time. There's something more. Do you know that that sometimes tribulations come so that we can discover where we really are and what we really are, what we've become? I believe that we all came with a purpose. We all know that God has a purpose destined for every one of us. Nobody came just by accident. There's a purpose for you. And there are some things that we need to do for God, which is a wonderful thing that, you know, that brings a lot of fulfillment to your life. But I believe that with all of that said and done, the thing that God is interested more than anything else is not in what we accomplish, but in what we become. That is the big thing, in what we become. Because remember, God's dream is that Christ be formed in us. And perseverance has a lot to do with that. Going through tribulations, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we can go into our tribulations and things that go wrong in our lives, knowing that Jesus has already overcome the world and we will be victorious in the end. It is what we do and how we respond to the tribulation that changes everything. It is that response, is that initial response and that standing in the truth as things around us begin to change in a negative way. That makes all the difference. It's that perseverance. You know, when I was thinking about this perseverance, and my mind went to the fruit of the Spirit. There in Galatians chapter 5, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. There are two. When it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it really means the consequences of living in the Spirit. The result of being led by the Spirit as opposed to be led by the flesh. There are two things there, two lists there. And then it starts off with a list of things that will show up in our lives if we live driven by the flesh and the desires of the flesh. But then it moves on to what our lives will produce if we live by the Spirit, driven by the Spirit. And we can quickly go there. Just keep your place there in Romans, in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, we've already read about the peace this morning, and read about rejoicing, which is joy. A long suffering, which is perseverance. And these are the things that God wants our lives to produce. This is the lifestyle of one driven by the Spirit of God. And He's creating all of this in us as He goes through, let's call it this renovation process. These are things that He begins to build into our lives. Love, joy. Now, if we only have joy when we have all the good things in life, then we're no different from the world. But when we can have joy because God has become our most precious, then we begin to rise up above the level of the world. We can have joy in every circumstance. We can rejoice in tribulation because it's a result, it's a consequence of living driven by the Spirit of God and not by the flesh. The long suffering is really perseverance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness, one of the beautiful things that Christ is building into our lives, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. There is no law against any of that because that is what makes life good. That is what makes life attractive. That is what we're looking for in people, these things. Okay, let's go back to Romans. So let's see what happens in a time of tribulation. It says tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character. Perseverance produces character. Now, do you know that everybody has character? Nobody came without a character. Everybody has character. But perseverance will produce character in us. What kind of character? Well, the things we just read about, the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering and the kindness and the goodness and the self-control and all of that is produced in us. Perseverance will produce that in us. You know, if every time persecution comes or tribulation comes or trouble comes and we lose our cool, we're not growing. We're not growing. We're not going anywhere. We just remain infants spiritually. But when that tribulation comes and we dig in our heels and we say, I am not moving. This is where I'm going. This is what I believe. This is how I will respond and I will not change. That's when we begin to grow. We begin to see those fruit appear in our life. We begin to see that love comes. We begin to see that joy comes. Even when circumstances are against us, we can have joy in the Lord. And perseverance will produce that in us. Sometimes, you know, when tribulation hits, we just need to be quiet and not say too much. Don't complain too much. And don't begin to describe all the trouble. It is like this and this and this. I mean, you know, we can become very eloquent and describing all the troubles that we have instead of persevering and just be quiet. If you cannot say something good about it, just say nothing about it. I believe when we stay quiet, we don't give the devil anything to work with. It's when we begin to talk about it when he begins to have some joy. And you don't want to give him some joy. Just keep quiet about it. Then he doesn't know what is going on in you. He doesn't know whether he hit the target or not. He just doesn't know. And the less he knows, the better. Remember, he cannot read your mind, but he watches us. And he sees how we respond and how we react. And then he knows how to get back to us a second time. But if we keep quiet and we keep on rejoicing and we keep on persevering, boy, that's when character is building in us. And so when tribulation comes, there's a verse there in the book of James where it says that we should be grateful for it.
Amen.
Not because the devil is doing something, but because this is an opportunity to grow. This is an opportunity to rise above the level of the world. This is where the sons are separated from boys. Is when we can stand in a time of tribulation and persevere and build character. I'm going to build character now. Boy, I'm angry. I'm steaming on the inside. I want to say a few things. You know, there's this guy, he started going to church, and then he used to swear a lot. And he worked on cars, and you know, he was swearing, or you know, as he was working on the cars, he was swearing a lot. And the pastor came by and asked him one day, he said, "You still swear that much?" He says, "No, when I'm angry, I spit, and where I spit, the grass never grows again." Now, the best is not to say anything, but let's grow character. And it's tough because I know that flesh rises up inside of us when things go wrong, you know, and there are some things that I believe the devil just knows how to pull that trigger. He just knows exactly how to do it. And we've been through some of that the last while. Let me tell you something. If you think changing an address is a simple thing, let me enlighten you. You call up some institution or a big company and change your address with them, be ready for a lot of tribulation. Yes. Your blood pressure will go way up. We've been through that through the church changed address and their own. And let me tell you, it's not that simple. It is not that simple. We've been through some of that. Boy, now let me tell you something. The world has changed. People don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. There's some people we have to pay this, you know, bills for the church. And we tell them to change our address. They say they will not. Well, we would like to pay you. Well, I'm not changing your address. I need a check. Well, we don't have checks yet. Well, I'm not. Well, send the bill where you want to send it. But we would love to pay you. Tribulation is part of life. And so is perseverance for Christians. That we go through all of this in a different way. And sometimes when tribulation comes, we need to say to ourselves, it's time to grow a little more. It's time to grow. I need to grow. This is school. I'm going through the grades here, and I'm going to pass this test because I need to grow. This is not about the tribulation. This is not about this company that ticks me off. This is not. Things are coming to mind now. Oh. This is not about buying a junk old water heater for because you want to get out of someone else's contract. This is about growing up now. This is what this is all about. Lord, help us. We need a lot of revelation here, people. We're getting it. We're getting it. I believe we're getting into a place where God wants to position us for greater things. And the devil brings all kinds of stuff to rob us of opportunities so that we can grow to the place where God can actually use us. All right, verse 4. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. When we have gone through those things and we begin to see the love of God show up and the peace of the Lord show up and the joy of the Lord shows up and all these character traits that come as a result of living by the Spirit of God, then we're growing up in hope. And hope walks hand in hand with faith. And without faith, we cannot please God. And without faith, we cannot take one step of progress. Without faith, we are abandoned to ourselves. And to what we know and what we can do, our own strength, our own abilities. But when we have faith in God, we can rise up and do more than we can. And what a joy that is. Verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This is one of the lovely verses in the Bible. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you know that every sinner is loved by God? Everyone who refuses to bow the knee before Him, God loves him. The door is wide open for everyone. Nobody will stand before God one day with the excuse, I didn't know. I didn't know. Because the love of God is upon them, and that love brings opportunities to surrender to Him. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one yet die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his love, by our life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. Reconciled with God. Nothing in between us and God. And now the ability to survive in tribulation has come. And we don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be defeated when tough times come. This is a time to rise up and say, we can win. Tribulation is not there to defeat me. Tribulation is there so that I can discover the weaknesses in me and deal with them and grow some character. And sometimes we're so happy with the characters that we were born with. But God says, I'm going to clean that up. I am going to clean that up. There are some things that I need to change in your life. There are some things that I need to take out of your life and build some new things into your life so that you can become that instrument, that vessel that I can use. But it's all about change. It's all about change. Some people say, well, this is the way I am. But God can change even that. God can change that. You know, stubbornness has never been a problem to God. He can deal with that. We sometimes think stubbornness is a gift of the Holy Spirit, but it isn't. It leads to our own defeat at times. When we're so stubborn, stuck on something we refuse to change, eventually that thing will defeat us. But when we become flexible in His hands and we say, Lord, change me. I need to change. Let me become what you can see in me. Let me become that person. I want to be pleasing unto you. I want to become the person that you made me to be. And change. So that your name be glorified in me and through me. You know, we go through the world and we interact with the secular world. And there is an interaction that takes place. And oftentimes there's influence that goes across the lines from one to the other. But as Christians, we need to be careful not to be influenced by the world, but we are here to influence the world. We are the salt and light of this world. And that is what we were made to be. And when we begin to blend and just look like them, then we have failed in our walk with God. We have to be different. We have to be different. God called us to be different. It is that difference in us that will attract the attention of people to our God. It is that difference in us that will make us stand out above the rest. That will bring people closer to God. It is that difference. And we should be bold about that difference. We cannot be the same as everybody else. We're different. We're different. And often that difference is what invites persecution and tribulation. But that just brings us back to the same old thing. We're growing there. We're growing there. We met with somebody this week, Peter and I, and we were talking about the name of Jesus with this person. And he was telling us about how Christians sometimes behave when they're in the world. Because they're scared and embarrassed by the name of Jesus. Do you know that? He was telling us about this minister who prayed in the name of the God with many names. I just read last night that if we deny Jesus, then we deny the Father. And if we don't have Jesus, we don't have the Father. And it's all about Jesus in our lives. And when we come and we're in the world and we're embarrassed about mentioning the name of Jesus, we have some growing to do. We have some growing to do. I know I'm sometimes labeled a bit a radical and so on. And you know, Jesus was a radical too, and a rebel. But people get a little annoyed, and I'm talking about Christian leaders, when I say, you know, when we are in official situations and events, and we are called upon to pray, that we need to pray in the name of Jesus. Because if we don't pray in the name of Jesus, then our prayer goes nowhere. He's the door. And we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And they're scared to do that because it will invite criticism. And it invites persecution. It also excludes you. Because now you mention the name of Jesus in a public place, you're a radical. You are a radical and a troublemaker, and you bring division among people, and so on. That is called, that's what the Bible calls tribulation. And tribulation produces perseverance. And let me tell you, a church without perseverance is a church on its way to fail. But we are not here to fail. We are here to win. And we cannot win without standing in that name by which we were saved. We cannot move on without standing in that name before whom we will stand one day. And Jesus said, if you are embarrassed by mentioning my name, I'll be embarrassed to mention your name before my Father one day. And perseverance is needed for the church to survive. Persecution will make us strong. And tribulation and the troubles that we endure will make us strong. Boy, you cannot, if you go and you want to build some muscle and you go to the gym and you begin to pick up those weights, what you do, you begin to persevere. You need that resistance to make you strong. It is that resistance that builds strength in you. And when we run away from resistance, we run away from opportunities to be strong. When you know, only a dead fish goes downstream. There's no resistance there. It just floats along downstream, just, you know, with all the debris and all the rubbish, just goes downstream. But it takes a live fish to go upstream. And that is that resistance, that is that tribulation sometimes that we need to make us strong. And to arrive at the place where we ought to arrive. And that the place where we ought to arrive is, we're going to be like him. We are going to be like him. And he said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. See, if you want to follow me, you put the cross on your back and come. Which means you're dying to yourself. And if you're not willing to die to yourself, you'll never make it. Somebody says Christianity is not for sissies. It is not for sissies. Christianity is for people with spine in them who can stand in a day of tribulation and persevere and build some character and strength and rise to the top that way. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We were called to win and not to be defeated. And the way to win is not to go with the world. The way to win is to go with God. And you go against the grain. You go against the culture. You go against the things that the world presses down on us. Perseverance will take us there. Without perseverance, we'll never make it. Without perseverance, we'll fail at the first tribulation that comes. The first problem that comes, It will cut our legs and we'll be gone. Tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, hope. Perseverance, character. And character produces hope. And that is the process that we're in. That God is taking us through. So that we can be the people that God made us to be and be the church that God wants us to be. I got an article this week from I believe it's Charisma magazine, and somebody wrote an article and said that the true church that stands in the gospel and in the truth that the Bible teaches is very close to be persecuted because we'll be labeled radical. The true church. I believe, and as we interact with some people that are in nations where the church is persecuted, and we become envious of the wonderful miracles that they see, and the growth in the church in many different ways, we become envious of them. But the reason why that happens is because of persecution and tribulation. They're working against that resistance, and they're gaining strength, and they're moving along, and they begin to see things that we dream to see. But in the world where we are even protected, our religious freedom is even protected, we become weak. We have become weak. And my call to us today is this. When little things comes to us, little things come to us to test our perseverance, to test our faith, to test our hope, to test our stand in the truth, let us persevere. Let's grow that character that is so needed in the world that we are today. Let's build that character that will dare to be different from the world. Let's be bold about the name of Jesus. Do you know, when the first miracle took place in the book of Acts, the disciples were called in and they were told not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. First persecution came right there when the name of Jesus was mentioned and did something good. It was not well received. It was not well received. And they went and prayed and said, Lord, just give us that boldness. Give us that boldness. We cannot succumb to this. We cannot compromise. We need to stand in this truth that the name of Jesus brings the signs and the wonders. The name of Jesus brings the deliverance and the healings and the salvations. We cannot succumb to this. And they prayed and persevered and saw the church grow. God, we need Christians with spine these days that can stand in the truth, that will not bend under the pressure, that will always stand up straight for the truth that we stand in. Perseverance in a time of tribulation and a time of trouble. Let's say to ourselves, I will not compromise in a difficult day. I will not compromise when the peer pressure comes from colleagues or friends or anyone, I will not compromise, but I will persevere and build character. Amen. To the glory of God. Amen. Let God finish the renovation project on us. Let Him pull off all the old wallpaper. Let Him take out all the old things that don't work anymore and build in some new things that are fresh and powerful and beautiful, and create in us somebody that looks like Him. That is His dream, and that is where we're going. Amen. Let's all stand. You know, I always like to preach on faith, because boy, we've accomplished some wonderful things by just putting our trust in God. And we saw some amazing things. I like to preach about a whole lot of things. It's not easy to talk about what I spoke about this morning, but I realize how necessary it is for my own life. And I realize that as one who's responsible for our church to God, that I need to bring the full counsel of God. Because we're going somewhere, people. We are going somewhere, and I want to be ready when God wants to use me. I want to be a tool and an instrument that God can use. And I believe God wants to use our church. And let's go to that place. Let's be willing to be changed by Him. Let's say, God, I receive that this morning. I receive that. I receive that. I'm going to persevere in a time of tribulation. I'm going to go through this, not with a long face, but I'm going to go through this rejoicing. The Bible says, who rejoice in tribulation? Who rejoice in the tribulation? The devil will not steal my joy. That's the first thing he comes when he wants to defeat us. He steals our joy. And we are not going to let him take our joy. And we will rejoice even in our tribulation. Father, I thank you that you did not give up on us when you bought us. And we came in as dirty old sinners with bad habits, bad language, just ugly old baggage that we had with us. You loved us. You didn't give up on us when we lapsed and stumbled and fell. You didn't give up on us, but you kept on loving us, kept on coming back to us, cleaning us, renovating us, shaping us, molding us, bringing us to that place where you know we can be. Father, this morning I pray for every one of us that you open our eyes to see when a difficult day comes what it really is all about. Building character in us. Building strength into us. Bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit in us. So that your work of salvation will be fully accomplished in every one of us. May the church shine brightly unto you and in this world. We pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.